fine. So she's getting married pretty soon. Not going to be with us much longer. And that's the last time she'll be playing for us. So I thought it'd be nice to hear the whole thing. So, all right. I had a couple things I just have to add on to what Mr. Brady said. But one is, I thought it was just interesting that Rhode Island was given to the white people. It wasn't that those white people just came and just drove those Indians out of that area. I know white people drove Indians out of certain areas. We have the white people. We're not the greatest all the time. But we never hear. We just get this idea that every single one of us, unless you have an Indian heritage, belongs somewhere else in the universe, and that America is supposed to be left to Indians who were here fighting and killing each other off before we came and taught them the gospel and brought things that would help them recover from illnesses and all kinds of things like that. Anyway, so there's that was stuck out to me. And then we should remember, I try to point this out all the time, that most of everyone who came to America came so that they could worship God in the way that they felt was right. That's not religious freedom. They came so that they could worship God in the way that they felt was right. And if you came to their colony and you didn't feel like worshiping God the way they felt was right, you were in trouble, like Massachusetts and so many other places. So most of America, they came to escape religious persecution, but they didn't set up havens for religious freedom. And that means, that to me makes our U.S. Constitution so incredible, because here we had many, many states who in their constitutions had an established church. Many states with an established church, but our national constitution did not establish religion. And it provided for the free exercise of religion, and that is mostly due to the influence of Baptist pastors and Baptist Christians. And so you might say, well, why didn't we have a Baptist state? Well, because if you understand what Baptist doctrine is, it's impossible to have a Baptist state. Baptists believe in freedom of conscience, and that there should never be a state that enforces Baptist religion on people. And so there's not a Baptist state. If there's anything is a Baptist state, it's a state that allows for the freedom of religion and the free exercise of religion. And so in a certain sense, America is a Baptist country, because there's no such thing as a country or a state that forces everyone to become Baptist. Baptists don't do that. So, just a little reminder there that is our heritage. That is, and just looking at the facts and deducing from them, here's a constitution that doesn't force people to be in churches. That means we had a lot of Baptist influence. And we're not being taught this today. And our children are not being taught this today. Our country is not being taught this today. And that's why we can have things happen all over the country that are oppressive to religion. And they hold themselves off from oppressing worship, but we don't have the freedom of worship in America. We have freedom of religion. Okay? And religion goes a lot further than worship. What we're doing here is worship. Okay, and so most people that hate religion would allow us, they would tolerate us doing a gathering. They might not even tolerate the things that we say when we gather together, but they'll at least tolerate us gathering together and doing our thing once a week. But they don't tolerate us being a true Christian, being a religious person, and letting that religion influence us all week long. And that is un-American. That is not what America stands for and what it was built. Well, it's not what America was built upon. Let's put it that way. All right, so even less time to get through my lesson. But I decided, and I had decided this before before this week even, that we're going to look at just part of a verse today. Okay? Sam was so excited for me. I got through like almost half a chapter in one week last week. And today we're going to get over in through, hopefully, we'll be able to get through about half a verse today. Acts chapter 10, tremendous verse, tremendous things said in the course of this event that happened. Acts chapter 10, we'll be looking particularly at verse 33, In Acts chapter 10 and the beginning of chapter 11, we have the incident, we might call it, or the event of the gospel being taken to this Gentile. There may have been people that were Gentiles that got the that received or heard the gospel before this, indirectly or but not as clearly, and not one that the Bible goes back and focuses on and says this happened, as we see in Acts chapter 15. But so the gospel is going directly, clearly, explicitly to Gentile people, to a Gentile here in Acts chapter 10. And it's a tremendous story, with especially the more we understand the historical context of it. But I want to come down to verse 33. We hadn't really even gotten to verse 33, but we'll bring in the context to understand a certain and learn something from it. In a certain sense, this event is held up as something that we should look to learn from. Not everything that we're told about in the Bible is something that we should learn and follow from. Okay, the Bible accurately, in fact, with no errors at all, reports to us everything that it tells us about. It doesn't. There's no errors in it. Absolutely none. But some of the things it tells us about, we shouldn't go off and do ourselves. Okay. But this here, I believe, is very instructive for us. So I would like us to look at this verse, verse 33. And in verse 33, we have the man Cornelius, who we introduced to you last week. He's a Roman centurion in the city of Caesarea, who had received a vision. A man, an angel, appeared to him. Clearly, it was an angel that was there with him in the room, talked to him, told him, send down to Simon, whose surname is Peter, who's living in Simon's house, who's a tanner, the tanner that's by the seaside, and he will tell you things to do. And so they sent some people down there, and Peter comes back, and we'll come back to the greeting and all of that type of stuff probably next week. But Peter says to him, they begin to talk, and Peter says, so why did you send for me? Basically, something like that. Of course, he knew, but he wanted to hear it from them. And Cornelius begins to relate again what happened to him. He was fasting, he was in prayer, he'd seen the angel and all of this. And at the end of what he says to him is very helpful. In verse 33, it says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, he's not saying it was good that... He is saying, it's well done that you're come, but that's kind of like a form of thankfulness. I'm so glad that you have come is what thou hast well done that thou art come is the idea that means. So I'm so glad that you have come. And then I want to look at this sentence right there. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Tremendous idea in there. And I've titled the lesson, We Are Here. We are here, and because that's what if we break that sentence down with all the modifiers and everything there, basically Cornelius says we are here, and he says a lot of other things about that. So let's just think through what Cornelius was saying and about this incident, nearly 2,000 years ago. But because it's instructive to us, I think we'll be able to get some instruction if we just explain what happened. But then I'd like to kind of not just leave it as what happened then and think through how this can be helpful to us even today. Because we are here today, too. And hopefully we are here in the same frame of mind and expecting the same things as Cornelius and those that were there with him were. So we are here, Cornelius says. He says, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So first of all, he says, we are here. And I want to point out that he says we. Now, in reading the story, we understand that, but the vision came to Cornelius, but Cornelius says, we are here. There was more than just Cornelius. He he was concerned about more than just himself. He could have, you know, he could have said, asked, gotten maybe a private interview with Peter. But we know from his character and everything that was said earlier that that's more than just, it's more than just him. He, because he was a faithful man and one that feared God, that oozed out of him, or more than just oozed out, that came out of him and affected his household, it affected his soldiers, it affected the people around him. And so it's more than just Cornelius that's here. And then he said, then there's a modifier there. He says, now therefore are we all here. So we all are here. So Cornelius gathered people together. The context tells us that he gathered, it gives us the indication that he gathered his household, but then he also gathered kinsmen. So that would be relatives, others that maybe weren't in his household, but in the area, and near friends. So he did more than just come. He brought people with him. He brought people that he cared about, people that he could influence. He brought them with him. So it says, we all are here. So he gathered, and beside that, he prepared them. It doesn't say this, but can you imagine Cornelius saying, hey, somebody's coming and I want you to hear them. Who's coming? Just come. What's he going to say? Oh, just come. And not tell. He prepared them. First of all, we know that his house, there was devout people in his household, so he was preparing them before he even got the invitation. So he told them. They knew of his faith already, and then when they came, I just can't believe that he didn't just say, "Hey, I got a surprise for you." He didn't know what was going to happen, but he prepared them to hear whatever it was that they were going to hear. So we all are here. So who's here? He's there. We're here. We all are here. Where are they? From this statement, where are they? It says, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now we know they were in Cornelius' house. But where did he say they were? He said, now therefore are we all here present before God. We're before God. He recognized that what was happening there was done in the audience of God, or in the view of God. We're here before God. He knew, Peter was there and other people were there. Nobody could see God, but he knew that what was going to happen was in the presence of God. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? So then, why? Okay, why? We ask these questions about this statement. Why are we here? Why are we here before God? Well, he says, we're here to hear things. We're here to hear things of God. Look at that. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? Why? To hear all things. To hear things. What kind of things? The things from God. So they came to hear. They came expecting to hear. We're all here, and we're here to hear. We know there's two different hears going on there, but we're all in this place, and we're here so that we can hear. They expected to hear from God, which is interesting. They were going to hear the words of Peter, but they expected to hear from God, because he said, we want to hear the things of God. What things did they want to hear? All things. Sometimes, we're getting to meddle in there early, but sometimes we come to hear from God, but we don't want to hear all the things God has for us, do we? We want to hear the things that we think God should be telling us. Anyway, so what things, which things, all things. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? And so Now, Cornelius, I don't know that he really knew that he was keeping Peter in check there, and we wouldn't put it that way, but I see it as something of keeping him in check, or keeping people that stand in the position of Peter in check. They're there, they're ready to hear all the things that had been commanded to Peter from God. They didn't come to hear, you know, Peter's thoughts on the economy. They wanted to hear what Peter had received from God. So, I think that's a pretty good review of what's going on there. And now let's think about it in connection with ourselves. Because we're all here, hopefully. Hopefully all of you is here. And if all of you is not here, I commend you for the part of you that is here. Well, sometimes you've got pain. But even though you're in pain, and part of you wishes it was in bed, and you wish part of you was, but you're still here. And that's good. We're here. So we're here, and we're all here. Hopefully you've brought people with you. Hopefully the people that you brought with you are prepared. You know, in your home, is it just, you just do, is church and coming to church just something that is done? Just like you get up and you eat breakfast and then you do this and you do this. There's no real preparation for it. No real, this is important and we're going to be ready to come to church. We're going to be ready to hear from the man of God. We're all here. Let's try to all be here. And then before God, the idea of being before God. Now, make sure I'm not thinking ahead of myself. Yes. So are we before God right now? Of course we are. Of course we are. Now, and we you've probably heard this phrase, and sometimes there's a little balance that needs to be taken. We talk about we're going to the Lord's house. Is this the Lord's house? Yes, it is the Lord's house. Okay, it's the church. It's the Lord's house. But sometimes we say, well, there's nothing special about that house. No, there's nothing special about this building, except that it has been set aside most of the time for hearing the man of God. When we come to church, when we come to this place, and right now, all of us meet in this place. If we didn't have this place, it would be some other place. When we come to this meeting place, was Cornelius' house a church? No, it wasn't a church. But there they were before God. And here we are, regardless of whether this is a sanctuary or a church building or an auditorium, we're here before God. And in a certain sense, because we always... We do respect this building some because it's the place that we meet with God. Now, you say, I can meet with God anywhere. That's true. You can, but not in the same way as you can when you're in church. I don't have the time to go into explaining it, but I think that this will ring true with you. And that is that when a man gets up, when a preacher gets up, and preaches, takes the word of God and preaches it, something different happens. Something unique happens when the preacher preaches the word of God that doesn't happen in any other situation. Okay? A man can get up, even if he has the occupation of a preacher, he can get up and he can speak fervently. But if he's not preaching, if he's just speaking his ideas and supporting them with logic, and even with truisms from the Bible, for that matter, it's not the same as preaching. If you read the Bible, it's the Bible, but something happens, and God blesses it. God blesses the combination of the man of God preaching the Word of God in a unique way. And I think it's interesting. Now, in this situation, there was the combination of the man of God, and he didn't have the Bible as we have it, but he had the Word of God, and together, who showed up? The Holy Spirit. And so, God, the Holy Spirit, can work, and he does work in a unique way when you have the Word of God and the man of God together in the same place. And I don't mean doing preaching, not just, you know, a Bible sitting over here and a preacher over there. So, we're here before God. So, we expect We should come expecting to hear from God. We hear the voice of a man. We're going to hopefully have our Bible and be reading it, but we expect something unique to happen there that the man can't produce and we can't produce. God brings it together when the man of God preaches the word of God. So then he says, we expect that and we come to hear. Now we know, we know that these people believed and obeyed what they heard. They believed it and they acted upon it. And they acted upon it inside. There wasn't motions going on, but they acted upon it. And we know they acted upon it because the Holy Spirit came down and shows us. Had to be that way to show Peter and the other Christians that were with him that they received, and not only did they hear, but they received it and acted upon it. So we, when we come, we should also be listening and wanting to hear from God and being ready not just to hear, but to obey, to act upon that in our mind, with our will and with our volition, while even during the preaching. So we should also see that we're in the presence of God. Right now, we're in the presence of God. What you're doing with what I'm saying, God is viewing. But also, what I'm doing, God is seeing. What I'm doing with what God has given me, God is seeing. It's not like I get to do what I want and you have to do what God wants. I have to do what God wants and you have to do what God wants. We're all here in the presence of God. God is viewing what each of us is doing, regardless of where we are in the situation, whether we're behind the podium or sitting there receiving. God is viewing it all. God is viewing you. God is viewing me. And so it's important that I give what God has given me. Now, so we're here to hear things, from God. You're not here to hear whatever I feel like. Now, I don't feel bad talking about American history because God was involved in that. And a biblical understanding of what our history is important. We're not just Christians when we worship. We should be Christians when we study history. We should be Christians when we go to the store. We should be Christians when we save our money. We're Christians when we entertain our family. We're Christians all the time. Okay, But at the same time, we are here. We're here to hear from God. And now, as we finish up, the focus is on you, but it comes even more onto me or onto the person that stands here. We're here to hear all the things that God has commanded me. Now, all things. Well, first of all, let's just say commanded. I must preach to you the word of God. I must teach you the word of God. Right? I'm not Peter. Peter was on the rooftop and got a vision. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go with these people, nothing doubting. I have something way better than Peter. In fact, Peter told me that it's way better than what he had. This is the more sure word. So everything I say must come from this. Okay? And you ought to expect that of everyone who stands before you, claiming to be the man of God, it should be, it's there, so I believe it. We don't have to be hypercritical, okay? Because we are human beings, and I make mistakes. Once in a while. No, I make plenty of mistakes. But we should be expecting, when we're here before God, we should be expecting to hear from God. And we can tell if it's from God, if it's from His Word. Okay? And then I'm to give everything that is commanded. We're here to hear all things that are commanded of God. I can't just pick the things that I like to preach on or like to teach on. I need to preach everything that's there. You need to receive everything that's there, but I need to give everything that's there. There's some things that, I mean, someday, I was saying it's hard to understand Ezekiel. Someday, I'm probably going to need to preach or teach through Ezekiel. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. Hopefully, I learn between now and then. But I can't just say, I would never preach that. God gave it to us. Right now, I'm at God gave it to us, so I'm going to read it and do my best to understand it. But I can't just say, I can preach on these 10 topics, or I can preach from these 25 passages, and the rest is unimportant. Well, I wouldn't say it's unimportant, but I'm never going to preach from it. We're all here, present before God, to hear everything that God has commanded us. And we ought to be here this way. For myself, and for every man who preaches, I'm the only one speaking now, but there's plenty of you out here that get opportunities to stand up and preach God's word. You don't have to be a pastor to preach. Okay? There's plenty of you in nursing homes and all the place. You get opportunities to preach God's word. You need to make sure you're preaching God's word. Not something you heard some other preacher say. Not something you grew up hearing. You're preaching God's word. I need to preach God's word. And all of it. Not just the things that I am comfortable with. Not just the things I know you'll be comfortable with. But we all need to be here. And we are here. Hopefully we are all here. Understanding that we're in the presence of God. God sees what I'm doing. God sees what you're doing. God sees what I'm thinking. God sees what you're thinking. And we're expecting to hear from God. If we don't come expecting to hear from God, we're probably going to miss it when he speaks. Let's remember these things this week. I think it's interesting. I need to stop. But we know that I go through books, and I think it's just kind of neat. It's reaffirming that what we need to hear happens to be right there in the text as we're going through it. And we need to hear this morning before we have a week of preaching how we ought to come to hear the preaching. And so let's take this. We have plenty of opportunities this week to apply this. Now, we're all here. Let's be here recognizing in whose presence we are here and expecting to hear from God as we hear the preaching this week. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance and direction. And I pray that as we continue through this week, even as we continue in a few minutes to hear the preaching this morning, that we would be looking to hear from you, expecting to hear from you, and recognizing that what we hear, you know what we hear, and you know what we think, and you know what we're going to do, and how you know and see how we respond to what you give to us and expect from us. Please help and strengthen us through what we're able to be a part of this morning here at church. In Jesus' name, amen.